Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning Iyov Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter of the book of Iyov. In this perek, we meet Tzofer HaNa'amasi. This is now the third, and at this point in time, last friend of Iyov who is joining the conversation. Up till now, we've had Iyov present his first speech, the retort of Eliphaz, Iyov's response to him, Bildad's speech, and Iyov's response to him. Iyov at this point has given three speeches and two of his friends have interjected. Now we meet the last of those friends, and that is Tzofer. Tzofer now gives a speech. This perek is 20 psukim long. First question, just to understand, is who is Tzofer? In fact, we know very little about him, whether his name Tzofer or Na'amasi. The Vilna Gaon quotes a tradition that he is also a descendant of Nachor in the Abrahamic family, thereby merging all of these people, Iyov, Bildad, and Eliphaz, and Iyov into and Tzofer into one family origin, Abrahamic dynasty, monotheism. That's the basic foundation of their belief system, which is why the conversation is framed by that. The general gist of this perek, the general gist of his speech, because it's a short speech, it's only 19 psukim long, is along the thrust which has a postmodern perspective. In a certain sense, how can you trust your perspective itself? How can you trust anything your senses tell you? Your perception is limited. Your perception of self is limited. So who is really a tzaddik? You can only see the outside. You don't see the action. You don't see the context of the struggle. You don't see the emotional struggle. What is suffering? You only see the here and now. What is knowledge to claim that Hashem has to be limited to your versions of Yediya and Bechira? These are the types of questions that Tzofer raises. Let's look at it in a sequential sense through the perek. The first point he makes is in the first four psukim. And his point is, it sounds very strident and it sounds very angry as he says these words. He asks him, do you think that talking a lot is going to help you win the argument? Haroya devorim lo ya'aneh v'mish svosayim yitzdak. You just think by your incredible articulation, your oration, you're going to be able to win the argument? Do you think that your empty thoughts, your prattle and your chatter will silence those who don't speak up against you? Do you think you've convinced us that you're completely innocent? You can hear a really negative tone when you hear this speaking. At this point, Tzofer has been listening silently to the conversations, the dialogues between Iyov and his friends. And at this point in time, this is when he interjects. He obviously feels that Iyov is not being honest when it comes to the conversations. The next point he makes is in Psukim Hey to Vav. This is his second point. Here, he asks, and he says the following. Wait a second, Iyov. Has Hashem spoken to you and revealed his secrets to you? You only see the folded edges of the subject. Meaning, Mi yitayin Eloik ha-daber v'yafatech s'fa savimach. Is Hashem speaking to you? Oh, you have all the secrets. You're now making all these claims that you know about Hashem's judgment. You know about your tzedkus and how righteous suffer. When did Hashem exactly explain that to you? The way the Malbim explains this is that a human being only sees the outer surface. So they're limited into the perception of the other human being. They see what another person does. They don't see what's going on inside their emotional and spiritual makeup. They also don't see necessarily the context of that person. Is it easier for a person to make that choice? Is it not easy? What's their background which led them to that moment? You don't understand that. Did Hashem reveal that to you to understand objective reality as opposed to relative, subjective reality? He now makes his third point. This is from Psukim Zion to Yudbeis. And now he addresses the real theological crisis or the real theological question and dilemma that Iyov raised, which is Yediya and Bechira. If Hashem knows everything that's going to happen, then he knows I'm going to sin. If he knows I'm going to sin, then I was predetermined to sin. If I was predetermined to sin, then why are you punishing me for it? Which is what Iyov raised in Perek Yud. He says, wait a second. Can you even conceptualize the divine? Do you think you understand the divine to talk about his knowledge? He says, well, you know what? Gov hei shemayim matifal. Amukomishol mateda. Can you, do you have the scope of perspective to understand into the celestial worlds or into the netherworld? Arukomi eretz mido ruchova mina yom. He is great, longer than the measure of the terrestrial earth and wider than the seas itself. Do you think you can understand this? Hashem told us two axioms. One is that he knows everything. The other is that you have free will. You can't put those two together, but don't tell him that that's a problem with him because you don't understand him. You don't understand how his knowledge differs to our knowledge and conceptualization of an idea. And at the end, he adds a very enigmatic verse where he says, "V'ish novuv yilovev," a person is empty, so to speak, hollow. "V'ayir pere adam yivoled," a person be born as a mule, as a type of donkey. Strange description. What is he saying? The way that the Malbim understands this is, just as you don't ask how it is that a person is born a person and a mule is not born like a person, that just is. There are certain axioms in this world which just are. You can't ask about Yediyah and Bechira because you have no alternative. You don't understand the framework of the question to ask it. There's another way of looking at this, and this is in the interpretation of the Ibn Ezra and the Ralbag on this pasuk, which is that when a person is born, they are born very backwards. They are born like a mule. They are born very disconnected to their spiritual persona. And if left uncultured, if they are left in a way in which the environment does not culture them, they will turn out like a wild ass, like a donkey. They will turn out to be simply animalistic because of that very tenuous connection between the soul and the human being. So to speak, the Lord of the Flies argument here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is being said about HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Tzofer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands the frailty of man. But don't think, now that you arrived at a conceptualization, intellectual propriety, that you have the right to question HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you were so close to being just an animal when you were born. That's the argument which is being made here. One other just interesting point over here is that Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes, Arukome Eretz Mido Ruchov Mina Yom, is used to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in classic Mepharshim and later on, is understood to refer to the Torah itself. In multiple midrashim, this appears. And the Shlach HaKadosh, when quoting this, gives a very beautiful example. He says, you know, that the Torah begins with the word Bereshis and ends with the word Yisrael. So the first letter is a Beis and the last letter is a Lamed, which is a Lev. And he points out that the letters Lamed and Beis are only two letters which automatically connect to all the three letters of the Shem Havaya, the Yud, the He, and the Vav, which is why the word Lamed can go to li, la, loi, and beis can go bi, ba, boi. So it can form, it can connect, the heart, so to speak, can connect to each of those ideas in the name of Hashem. Which, the expression, the metaphor for such depth, that's just an example, is the ocean. You know, till today, we simply do not know what is in that valley, in that cavern down at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. We simply can't reach that. The pressure is too great. We, in our greatest technology in the 21st century, can only guess what's at the ocean bed in certain places. Well, that's the Torah. The Torah is like the ocean bed. We just can't access it. So how can you, frail human being, question the way it works? We now move on to the fourth and penultimate point that Eov raises in this parak in Psukim Yud Gimel, to Tesvav. In this point, he says, look, if you choose to put your hand on your heart right now, put your hand over your heart, do you feel any resistance? Was somebody telling you to or not to do that? Did you think Hashem was making you do that, or did you think you were doing that? If there's sin in your life, then choose to push it out. Then if there's going to be negativity, or crookedness remaining in your tent. You're in control. Eov, nobody's telling you what to do. Nobody is treating you like a marionette like you claimed in Perek Yud. if you can do something and you feel like you are in control, you are in control. You're not that trapped lion that you claimed that as you were. Interestingly enough, just as an interesting side point, the Gomorrah Ksuba Sundaif Yud Tes Amud Beis has a number of interpretations about that idea of removing crookedness from your tent. One halachic application of this is that you should not have a sefer she'eino mugar. You should not retain in your tent or in your house a sefer Torah, which does not have the correct spelling. If there's a mistake in it, you should fix it as soon as possible. That's learned from this pasuk. Just a fascinating side point. We move on to the fifth point that Eov makes from Psukim Tes Zayin to Chof. And in this, he just basically, Sofer makes to Eov, your perception of suffering is also stunted. Not only is your perception of self, your perception of Yedia, of knowledge, and Hashem's knowledge is different, but your perception of suffering is incorrect. Who says suffering is objectively bad? You know, your real personality is your soul. And when your soul sheds your body, the way he says it so powerfully is, kamayim avru tiskar. You know, you're going to forget all the suffering. It'll be like water. You know, like when there's a heavy rain and it feels really oppressive and it's hard to be outside and some of the plants suffer and there's a little bit of damage which is caused and afterwards you see that damage. But give it a few days, you'll forget that there was even water there in the first place. And sometimes you won't even forget. It'll be now that you start seeing after the April showers, you'll start seeing May flowers. You'll start realizing that there are things which are growing because of that oppressive rain. That's what suffering is. You're looking at it because of your perception, your biased perception of what suffering is. But there's a world to come, and that world will be light like midday. It'll be a place where you can lie in complete, absolute bitachon, in surety, in security. And therefore, he itself here says, in that place, evildoers will be punished. In that place, there'll be real recompense. So why are you questioning suffering of the tzaddikim when you can't define the terms tzaddik, you can't define the terms suffering, and you can't even understand the knowledge of God to question it? That's Sofer's point. The Rambam has a very clear summary of this perek. When you read Hilchos Tshuva, the fifth chapter, the fifth halacha, the Rambam quotes our pasuk, Rechava Mina Yom, and Aruka Me'eretz Mida, and he says, you know what? He says there are certain things you may question, like Yediyah and Bechira, like Hashem's omniscience and your free will to act within that. And he says, you know what? That's not your business. He says, you know what? In the end of the day, there's one thing you should know. Hu yisal eshmo v'da'ato echad. Hashem and his knowledge are one. Ve'en da'ato shel odom yicholo la'asig dover azar aburyoy. You cannot understand intrinsic knowledge. We only understand contingent knowledge. Our knowledge is contingent upon the facts, or the amalgamation of those facts. Therefore, we need to depend on getting those facts to know them. Just as a person cannot understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't understand his knowledge. The Rambam is simply expanding this conversation, this point in Sofer. I will add as a footnote, the footnote on that Rambam, and that's the Ravid, his contemporary, Rabbeinu Avraham, who says, you know what? The Rambam did not act appropriately by even raising this issue of Yediyah and Bechira. Because you know what? Don't raise issues you can't answer. Sometimes when you have a really complex issue, just don't raise it. And therefore the Ravid says it would have been better if he were to not have talked about it. This is a very fascinating, very complex topic. Eov himself raised it, and Sofer is putting him back into his place and saying, you don't have the license to even start the conversation. With this, we close Perek Yud Aleph. We look forward to Eov's response in Perek Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.